Disconnect from the internet or use little snitch. Ah, damn it.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. Oh, and there's assignments too. I'm Amos and this is Kent.
Hey, how's it going?
Man, I'm alright. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
It has been it's been a long week.
Yeah. I was going to say a long day, but yeah. Even though it's technically a short week because it's Labor Day week.
Right.
It already feels like it's the second Thursday.
Yes. Yeah, and it's, isn't it only Wednesday? Oh, man.
I think so.
Yeah. Damn it. Okay. So, how was your weekend? Long 4-day weekend, huh?
Oh, it was fantastic. Of course, I mean, everybody always says the same thing. No, just not long enough. That's true, but it was very relaxing and at the same time very productive, so.
Nice.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we set the trailer up to go camping here on the fam camp on base, and, it was a good thing that we did. You know, we did it as a trial run to make sure that there were no problems with the camper and to iron out the process. You know, just become comfortable with actually setting it up and tearing it down, because you don't want to set it up your first time like 600 miles away from the house and something goes wrong and you don't know how to fix it. So
right, yep.
We went out there, we set it up, got power on, got the AC going, all that stuff, and the next day went out there, went to go connect power or connect water, and found out that I had two different leaks. One on the back of the toilet and one right next to the water pump.
Ah, that's not good.
No bueno. The problem on the back of the toilet actually cost me about $35. Just little mechanism, the whole actual flushing mechanism of the toilet. Did give me an opportunity to install a new toilet seal, which, I mean, I appreciate the opportunity, you know. at least now I know it's installed correctly, because that's not something that's messed up.
You were sympathizing with me for changing out an entire toilet the other day.
Right. See, did you finally change that out?
I did. And it's amazing. It's one of these amazing new technology toilets or whatever where you can flush a whole bucket full of golf balls. I'm not willing to try that, but at the store there was a video playing and shows this guy dumping golf balls in the toilet and
wow.
Bam, gone. Yeah.
Now the question is the new toilet in the hall so advanced and nice that you actually leave the bedroom and travel away from the bathroom in your bedroom to the hallway to use that toilet?
I have, yes.
Oh, see, that's a win. There it is. That's a win.
I didn't test golf balls, but something of comparable size and weight. Roughly the same mass.
Yeah. So the other problem I had with the trailer was the pump itself, the pressure switch that tells the pump to stop pumping when it gets to a certain PSI on the system, had actually cracked and blown out the back. So the water wasn't leaking like out of a hose; it was leaking out the back of the pump itself.
Ooh.
Yeah. Luckily, a little Amazon Prime action. It arrived yesterday afternoon, and I got it installed last night. It works great. Of course, I have no idea how the old one worked. You know,
never you were robbed of that opportunity.
Yeah, never even had the chance to try that. But the new one works great, and we went out there and tore it all down today, and got it packed up and parked in its little storage area and everything, and had a nice little conversation with the Navy vet that was living next door. Have no idea what his name is, and I don't even bother asking because yes, I am bad with names, and I will forget them before you've even finished saying what it is. So, you know, that's how that was.
Okay.
There's
always that one old vet that likes to talk.
Oh, well, we were actually surrounded by two of them. One was friendly, one was not. I'm glad the friendly one was the one that wanted to talk. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we had something else going on today. I finally actually completed a podcast. Had a little intro music and outro music. I did some adjustment to the volume leveling and try to get something halfway put together last night as I was dozing off in my computer. And got that out to you. I know I listened to it today while I was doing my random running around. I'm pretty sure you listened to the whole thing, so...
I did.
What are your thoughts?
I was rather impressed. For a couple reasons. One, the audio recording that I made of myself that I sent you, I thought was going to be unusable. That did not prove to be the case. I was pleasantly surprised that you even got recording from me right off the bat. But even before I had full realization that my audio was usable and I started playing the file that you had sent, I heard intro music. And then I heard a fade in and then your voice. And yeah, it was pretty cool. It sounded like a real podcast.
Oh, well, that would be the intent.
Right. Yeah. And but the audio syncing, the you know, the fades, the music, yeah, buddy, we're like halfway there to something real. That was pretty cool. Yeah. That was a like seriously like within 10 seconds of me playing that file, it was kind of like that aha moment, like, oh wow. That we're kind of actually doing this. This is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was really neat. Now, obviously, your audio quality was much higher than mine. You've got a professional microphone. Mine is not here yet. Should be here any day now, probably. Probably Friday. I'm hoping tomorrow, but probably Friday.
It'll probably be there at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning because we're recording tonight.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I will be surprised if I, immediately after this, I don't go to my front porch and there it is.
Oh yeah,
on like, the porch. Like, because that's happened before.
It was there the whole time. It was just like he delivered it at 8 o'clock at the last possible moment.
Right.
And you missed it when you came home because it was so damn dark outside.
Right. Yeah.
You go out there in the morning and you trip over it on your way into work. And you're like, oh, dang, the UPS genie just dropped it off and poofed out of existence. So so as far as the production of it, I initially thought that the audio that you sent me would be completely unusable as well. I plugged it into the appropriate program, including looking for some royalty-free music created by Kevin MacLeod. Give him proper credit to which he created. I took about an hour and
Thank
a
you
half
very much.
To get the pieces together, another half an hour to actually mix them in, and then I started falling asleep, so I saved it and went to bed. But listening to it, I can tell that there's still some more audio engineering that needs to be done.
Yeah, I listened to it. I think I started on the way to work, then a couple times throughout the day, and then I think I finished it up at lunchtime. And I was impressed. I was like, "Holy cow, we did this!" you know, most of the credit goes to you, of course. You engineered it, you produced it, you. Pretty much did everything except for speaking my voice. Yeah, so good job on that.
I do appreciate it. Now, what did you think about the content of the show itself?
It wasn't bad. I think we did okay. It is a beta show. We are getting our, feeling our bearings out. I mean, this right off the bat is not going to be like, oh my God, this is my favorite new podcast, and we're going to, be top chart on like all of the different podcast, rankings and whatnot. That's not going to happen, at least not based off of that podcast or even this one. But I think we're, that is what our third attempt, I think.
So this would be kind of the seventh attempt, and one that you listened to would have been the sixth actual full-fledged attempt. So but again, the content of the show, what'd you think about it?
I thought it was good. I liked that we had basically two main subjects. We veered off a little bit like we do, but we had two main subjects that we covered. We both had some fairly interesting inputs about nothing too heavy, just some kind of light tech geeky type subjects.
Right.
I think it's a good starting format for us.
Good.
The show lasted about half an hour, like we had intended, amazingly.
Right. just over 36 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a lot of stuff in there, especially at the end. We'd kind of wrapped the show up. And then we just kind of kept going.
yeah. That's what I was going to say. Is
we, that accounted we, for like almost 5 minutes just right there.
Yeah, we we tended to drone on just a little bit more than I would have liked. There were a couple points when I was talking and when you were talking that I was just like, okay, this should have stopped already. And I don't know if that's a matter of us reaching to try to find more content to put in the show or feeling that we need to add more than what we actually have or if we're reaching for things. But I think as long as we stay where we're comfortable and we don't reach on, you know, trying to keep continuing the conversation going when it doesn't need to, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And I think the more we do this, the more we're going to find our niche. We're going to find things that work, things that don't quite work as well as we thought they would. And then I'm sure we'll start adding in little segments and we'll start getting, more a slave to a script sort of thing. Not a spoken script, but a timeline.
A basically, flow.
Like we have 2 minutes to cover this. We have 30 seconds here. We've got a minute and a half here. We got 3 minutes there. You know, just right, kind of right. A, like, get it done. Good content. Cool. We're done. You know, right. I think it'll kind of eventually get to that point. But for right now, we're a very loose format and we're kind of finding our way with that.
Right. Well, speaking of which, we are currently at about 16 minutes. So I think it's time we should move on to our assignments, our homework from last week.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. Now, your assignment to me was wearable technology.
Yes.
Where it is, where it's going, and what my opinion of it was. At least that's how I took the assignment.
That's exactly my intent. So good job.
Very good. And, you know, it just so happens that IFA happened in Germany this last week. It's actually a show that I've never really known about. I know a lot about it now because of all the reading I did for your assignment. there's some interesting coming out, some interesting things coming out. Wearable technology in general, I don't think we've quite seen the heyday of it yet. I think we're, we had the Pebble Watch and we've had some other things in the past. But I don't feel that we've really hit that stride. It's kind of like when Microsoft came out with their first tablet and no one knew what to do with it. Like it didn't quite fit in anyone's lifestyle. So no one really understood how to take advantage of it. And then, you had a couple other attempts by other people. And then suddenly Apple came out with the iPad and just blew it all to hell. And now we've got a full fledged, tablet market. I think we're still waiting for that catalyst. We are getting closer, though, and there's more of a ramp up this time than there was with the tablet.
Yes, agreed. So what's it going to be? Is it going to be Google Glass? What's going to be that catalyst?
I don't think that any kind of VR is going to be that catalyst. I think VR is going to be the back end of it. We're going to be comfortable with other wearable tech first. Google Glass, of course, is same that VR area, in my opinion, because it's kind of what it is. It's augmented reality in that aspect. The wearable technology that I think is going to actually catch and become useful and become part of our daily life that we see is the one that I think is the corniest part of it, and that's going to be the watch.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is if you go back to when we were kids, we had calculator watches.
We had that robot. Was the coolest thing.
It was. And we had calculator watches. We had robot watches. We had, the watches were something that a lot of people wear, enough people wear that it can easily catch on. Whereas glasses that aren't prescription lenses are not, readily available. They're not something that the common person is going to wear, every day. So I really think it's going to be the watch market. And then having read all that I read today about Asus and about Samsung and about Sony coming out with these these great ideas for wearable technology in the form of a watch. And, of course, next week we do have the impending, the unconfirmed announcement of the iWatch by Apple. I really think that the watches are where it's going to go. Now, I could be completely wrong, but seeing the things that I saw today, you've got the Asus Zen watch is very nice. I'm looking at pictures on Engadget about it. I don't really see the functionality of it there, but at least it's wrapped up in a nice package that's attractive. And that's one of the crutches that, one of the things that the cruxes that watches have had. And then if you look at the Samsung, the new Samsung Gear, it's really nice. It's got a lot of capabilities in it. It's actually got its own micro SIM card, so it can be its own internet connected to device. You can make calls on it. You can access data. You can check your emails, listen to music, all that stuff on the device itself that doesn't have to be tethered to the phone. And I think that's going to be something that really strikes a chord with a lot of people. Although I'm wondering how the pricing scheme is going to go for that card.
Yeah, yeah. No, I absolutely agree. And the tethering thing is a big thing to me. I always have my phone with me, but if I'm going to start adopting wearable technology like an iWatch, for example, or or whatever the a Zen Watch or what have you, I don't want to be attached to the phone. I like one device. That was the genius of the iPhone. One device. I didn't have to have a separate phone, music player, GPS, you name it. The iPhone does everything. So that was, to me, that was the selling point. That's the piece of technology that I've been waiting for. One device, get rid of everything else. If I'm going to adopt something like, a watch, the whole purpose would be to replace the phone. I'm nowhere near, I want to wear a watch now. I'm done with the phone. Their job is to sell that product to me, make me want to ditch the phone. And the tethering thing, as a transitional technology, I understand it. But as a final product, something that I would purchase, it would have to be standalone.
Okay.
Tethering, it would, no.
Well, let me ask you this, and let me give you a little basis on this. I am currently running OS 10 Yosemite on my MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. I am running iOS 8 Beta 4 on my iPhone. If my iPhone is in the vicinity of my MacBook Pro and I get a phone call, I can answer that phone call on my MacBook Pro. Yes. I can answer regular SMS text messages on my MacBook Pro. So take that to the watch. And I think this may be what actually strikes it, what actually makes it happen.
Uh-huh.
Is if I can have my watch linked to my phone and my MacBook Pro, so they all work synergistically. If I leave my phone and can still answer the phone or answer a phone call on my watch on its own internet connection, that to me is a win.
Yes.
If I can take one or the other with no effort on my part to make the transition between one and another, if it becomes seamless the way that iOS 8 and OS 10 Yosemite is becoming, if it can make that transition for me, if I can just be the dumb consumer that has a computer, a phone, and a wearable device that all talk to each other and are all interoperable without me having to configure it and make it work, I'm in. I'm in at that point. That's where it becomes a viable design to me.
Yeah, and I see exactly what you mean. The one thing that I would enjoy having a wearable device for, really the only thing that even comes to mind at all for me, is working out, running in particular. I like to listen to music or podcast or I play a zombie game when I run. I like to use things that my iPhone can do while I'm running. But what a bitch it is to carry your phone or strap your phone to you somehow.
Oh yeah.
While you're running. That's terrible.
Requires a separate device to hold it, and then you don't know how secure it is to hold it. You're always worried about it falling and you losing your $500 device to the concrete gods.
Exactly.
Yep.
If I could get a viable wearable device that does everything that you just said, where I could answer a phone call I can listen to my music from the cloud. I can do all of these things. And of course, the added benefit of having wearable technology, it can be synced in with either, Nike Plus, I think it's called, or the Fitbit type right. devices.
Right.
Monitor my vitals and track how far I'm going and all of that sort of thing. That would be fantastic. If the price was right, I would buy that today if that product right. existed right now.
Yeah, and I honestly think that's where it's going to go. That is the next step of what we're seeing now. Now, I'm not saying that's what Apple's going to come out with next week, but I'm saying that's where it's going. And when it gets to that point, that's when it is a viable alternative to me. That's when it's going to mean something. Hmm. Now with all these connected devices, we have something else that becomes a concern, and that would be the Internet of Things.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how we interact with that Internet of Things. So my homework assignment to you was to be able to discuss the decision that's up for grabs right now in the FCC on whether or not internet companies should be considered a common carrier, what that means, and what we should do or can do about it.
Such a complex, not fun topic to assign to me. I have read so many pages and articles and blogs and opinions and from every spectrum of this, and completely polar opposite opinions for every bit of this. Oh, what a divided topic this is.
So, which side do you stand on?
I am going to have to say that I am on the side of net neutrality.
Meaning? Because that's one of the problems, isn't it? The definition of net neutrality around depending on who you're talking to. And
what a complicated thing this is. That definition changes depending on who is trying to define it.
Right. Right, because you have the different sides. You have the cable companies that are providing the internet, mostly cable companies that are providing the internet, Comcast, Suddenlink. Then you have the telephone companies, AT&T, Verizon, that are, AT&T UVerse and Verizon Fios and all that. And then you also have Google, who's actually a huge proponent of net neutrality. And, I mean, I can understand why. They are trying to get to have service in places where other companies are already holding oligopolies or monopolies or however you want to put it. So what definition of net neutrality are we going to hold to during this conversation?
I'm all for free usage of the internet in however way you want to use it. However, just so people don't get confused on what I'm trying to say here, there are things that are illegal that you can do with the internet. They're illegal because there's other laws already in place that prevent those.
Right.
I'm not saying make those things not illegal. Those can stay illegal and you can get prosecuted for using the internet in that fashion. I mean that the things that are not illegal should not be regulated by any laws to restrict your access or usage or what have you with.
I see it as this. I see two separate problems, and both of them have very simple solutions. And it just blows me away that this is even considered a thing. Okay? The first problem is whether or not the internet, access to the internet, should be considered a public utility.
Right.
It's pretty cut and dry. Your public utilities, your roads, your electricity, your water, these are things that enable you to live a comfortable American life. And I feel that the internet is a requirement for that if we ever plan on staying anywhere near competitive with other countries in the world.
Oh, definitely. So, definitely.
When you get water from the water company, they pump you with water and they charge you for what you use. They give everyone the same service. Here's as much water as we can give you. You do whatever the hell you want to do with it. If you do something illegal, The water company is not in any way responsible at all. The electric company, they pump you with electricity. You use whatever you want to use, and they charge you for how much you use. If you go start, you know, drilling people's kneecaps with an electric drill, the electric company doesn't care. They gave you the service. You used it improperly. You're held responsible. The internet, however, when it becomes a point of intellectual property rights and copyrights and everything else, suddenly now everybody wants to dip their hand in there and control how you're using the internet that you're purchasing, instead of just charging you for the internet that you use and holding you accountable for anything that you've done wrong on that internet.
Yes, I agree with that.
And I think it's a matter of the electric company can't monitor the electricity to see what I'm using it on, but you can monitor the internet to see what I'm actually accessing. That's how I feel about it. So that's problem number one.
Okay.
The second problem that I see with it is, given that the internet should be a utility or shouldn't be a utility, doesn't even really matter in this case. For cable companies to selectively choose which bytes you get at what speed, at what times, and prioritize which ones do which, like which be able to prioritize which bytes you get over other bytes, is complete crap. And I think that's where the essence of net neutrality is.
Right. Okay. For example, I only have internet in my house. I don't subscribe to a phone line or a cable subscription.
Right.
However, the company that I use for my internet provides both of those other services, and they offer these supposedly very attractive packages for all three of them lumped into this one thing, and it's like three times what I'm paying now for services that I wouldn't even use. So, not so attractive to me.
Right.
But they offer a cable subscription. I chose to get Netflix instead because I don't watch a whole lot of TV anyway. But when I do watch it, I want to watch it when I want to watch it. And I want to watch what I want to watch. I don't want to be a slave to cable where, oh, it's Tuesday night, it's 10 p.m. I could watch the news. I could watch this crappy rerun on the Food Network.
Or you could pay extra for the ability to time shift programming.
Well, right. But it's, you know, it's this whole thing where I pay a few bucks with Netflix. This is not a Netflix advertisement. We could be talking about something. We could be talking about Hulu Plus or Amazon Prime subscription type, streaming videos.
Right.
There's a bunch of different things out there. So I'm just using Netflix as an example because that's what I'm using currently. but I like the idea of Netflix because I can, you know, they've got a pretty large library of TV shows and movies and things that you can watch. And I can check it out and I can watch whatever I want when I want to watch it. I can pause it,
right,
walk away and come back and watch it again later or whatever. My point is, I chose to do Netflix instead of paying 60 or 70 bucks for a cable subscription.
Right.
But what this company could do, because they offer all of these different services, they could decide that we are going to make Netflix, Hulu Plus, and all such services, we're going to degrade those. We're going to artificially degrade that streaming speed. We're basically going to artificially shrink the bandwidth for those services.
Right.
So whenever you try to watch...
In order to pay for their own. In order to prioritize their own. Or prioritize the ones that are paying them more money.
Exactly. So you start watching your Skype, and every time you watch it, it's skipping. Oh, crap, man. Skype... did I say Skype?
Yeah.
Netflix. Netflix. It's jumping, it's skipping, and all this sucks. So I'm going to cancel my Netflix subscription. I'm going to get Hulu Plus. Oh, my God. It's doing the same thing. This sucks.
Right.
You know what? Screw it. I'm just going to get cable.
Right, right.
You know, that's the kind of crap that I think would go on. Maybe not in the larger markets, because people would catch on and there would be such a huge backlash that it would... Well, that, but in the, some of the smaller markets, I think it would be very prevalent.
That's just it. That's the problem with all of this, is that there, the market doesn't matter, because nowhere in America do you have multiple choices, multiple viable choices for high-speed internet and or cable television. It doesn't exist. You can go satellite, but then you can't get high-speed internet there. You can go with DSL, but then you're missing out on the highest speeds by a considerable margin, and that's not going to provide you cable. The cable companies have the best system, and they own it, and they don't allow leasing of it, and they don't allow any kind of competition, and they have the government in their back pocket, and the FCC is in their back pocket, because if you look at most of the employees on, in the FCC, at least in the board, they're mostly prior cable company employees, executives, and, you know, lobbyists. So what does that tell you? The people with all the fucking money are going to do whatever they want. And that's just my little miniature rant about how I feel of our whole government system.
Well, and that's kind of, I mean, you look at the history of the world, that's just kind of how it worked. This idea of power of the people and kind of sharing the power with, you know, that's a fairly new concept. This is just a further example of human nature and how it's pretty much going to be unless we, meaning the collective populace, put into effect something that would prevent that in the future, which it's going to be a very difficult thing to do.
And that'll never happen. But what will happen is we do need new assignments for each other. I have my assignment ready. do you have yours?
No, I don't.
Right. Well, then you've got about 30 seconds to figure one out, because I'm going to explain my assignment to you.
Okay.
My first official assignment to you was listen to Hello Internet. My second assignment to you was Current Geek. And Current Geek, I think, is probably each of our favorite podcasts at the current time.
Yeah, for sure.
My next assignment was the Internet Neutrality. For my fourth assignment, am going to go back to the podcast world, because I feel that it is not only something that I wanted you to listen to anyway, but it is relevant to today's conversation, not just the topics, but where we went with it. So my assignment to you is to listen to a podcast. I'll give you a choice. It's the same people. It's a little bit different of a layout. You can either listen to an episode of Frame Rate with Brian Brushwood and Tom Merritt, or an episode of Cord Killers, the sequel show, the post-Twit sequel, with Brian Brushwood and Tom Merritt. Either one of those shows would suffice. Any episode, I don't have any particular favorites. I think the show is pretty good, and I think it does what it needs to do. But I believe they are on a hiatus right now, so your most recent episode will probably be from Dragon Con, and that wasn't really a full episode, so it'd go at least a little bit further back than that. But you can really go back all the way back to a couple years ago when they were still doing Frame Rate. So that is my assignment to you for this week. Episode of Frame Rate or an episode of Cord Killers?
Okay, Cord Killers is the current show. I think I'm going to choose to do an episode of that, and you said don't. Because I wanted to, my initial idea was to check out the most recent episode, but you said the most recent episode is not really a real episode.
It was done live in front of an audience at Dragon Con in Atlanta last weekend. It's not a full-fledged produced episode. It's a live episode, you know, in front of a studio audience instead of in front of their own computers or whatever. So a little bit different.
Okay, so, all right, I'll go a couple episodes back in Cord Killers. I'll check that out. I was actually thinking about looking at that anyway, because I've kind of got the Cord Killer mentality anyway. I'm not a fan of cable companies or satellite TV companies.
And it'll show you another aspect, because so far, both the first two podcasts I had you listen to are completely different formats.
Yes.
Absolutely different formats. Now I'm taking you to, the first one was produced by CPG Gray. The second one was produced by Scott Johnson. And this one is actually produced by Brian Brushwood. So, kind of skirting around the Tom Merritt era, but different aspects of how to podcast and different episodic features. So on that, your assignment for me, good sir.
VR technology. I'm very interested in the technology. Ever since I saw Lawnmower Man, did you see that movie?
I did, but I barely remember it.
Yeah, well, ever since I saw Lawnmower Man, I was fascinated with the whole idea of virtual reality. Right. And from what I have seen of this thing, it's as close as we've gotten so far. And I want to talk about that type of technology. VR entertainment devices, basically. But not only that, I want to go another step further with the practical uses for VR technology. The same type of, basically the exact same type of tech that we're, that the Oculus is using, but for practical purposes. There are some applications out there now, and I'm sure that as technology becomes better and more available, there will be even more uses out there. Now, I just want to kind of have a conversation about where we are with VR, how cool it is, and how cool it can be, basically. Things that we can do with VR, things that we want to do with VR that we probably, or maybe not, I don't know, open for discussion, but things that we might be able to do in the near future, whether it's practical or, you know, for entertainment purposes. That's kind of a broad topic, but kind of narrow at the same time, I guess. So basically, I want you to look up VR. Start with the Oculus and just work your way out from there.
And once again, you choose a subject that I'm semi knowledgeable about already. In fact, at SGC in Dallas, they had several forms of VR technology on display. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, very very good stuff. It was all gaming related at that time. So you're kind of throwing me out of my box a little bit here. But yeah, I accept your challenge and your assignment, and we'll definitely see how that goes.
Okay, awesome. It sounds good. I want to jump, just like I did last week, I want to jump right in to the topics right now and start talking about them. But yeah, let's, so that, yeah, awesome. I know I had a good time tonight, and I look forward to having good conversation next week as well.
All right, and I know that you just recently started up a Twitter account, so you can actually be found at @RM_DelNoche.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brand new.
Brand new. Can, there's not a whole lot on there.
You can follow me. I don't have any followers yet, so you can be the first.
at @RM_DelNoche.
That's DelNoche.
Right. And for the time being, at least, I can be found at Ethan Kane on the Twitters. I might actually change that to @RM_EthanKane just to have something matching because my OCD will go nuts.
Ooh. I actually thought about that when I told you that that's the one that I chose.
Yeah.
It's like I could feel the disturbance in the force.
Yep. Right after I got the Ethan Kane handle, a guy named Ethan Kane actually decided to... Yeah, he reached out to me, he was like cussing me out because I used his name, so he couldn't get his own Twitter handle.
Oh boy, that's bad.
And I actually followed him for a while. He was pretty funny for a bit. people can see when episodes are going to come out of this podcast by following @RM_podcast. I believe it is @RM_podcast. Yes, our show that has not even really been released yet already has its own Twitter handle.
Yes, that is the power of the internet.
Yes, and you can email us any comments, suggestions that you might have, ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com. That's ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com. For episode Bravo 3, I'm Amos.
I'm Kent.
And this is the Ritual Misery Podcast. Well, you know, because the whole joke was before he got his account was, you know why George R. R. Martin doesn't have a Twitter account?
Oh, why?
He's already killed 140 characters.
That's perfect. Oh, that's perfect.